Okay. Dr. Peter has asked me to give a little talk to the children, especially. And we have some children. Would you like to sit up here so you can see better? Okay. There you go. Great. Now, did you know we have real tiny things in this world that God has made as well? And we love them, don't we? What is that? You tell me.
Rose.
Now, we want you to take a closer look at the rose. Did you know there are living things there? You need a magnifying glass? Yeah. But you can't see too well because they're really, really, really tiny. And so what you need is a microscope. Have you ever seen a microscope? Yep. They're tiny things and you peep inside and you can see them. And through the microscope, you can see a little bug. Look at that thing. And he lives on the rose, sucking out all the goodness from the rose. And when you enlarge it 60 times, oh boy, look at it. And some of them actually have wings. Did you know they can fly? These are called aphids. And this one, I want you to see it. Is it alive or is it dead? That microscope actually took the photos and the video clip that we have. Isn't that amazing? It's trying to get away. It's actually, I think it's on its back, so it can't get away too far. And I was able to film it. Now, the bugs suck out the life of these pretty flowers. Did you know in our lives there are bugs? We call it sin, you know, real bad things. And what we really need to know is to get rid of the bugs so they can get away. And Jesus can help us do that when we join the church. Did you know there's a little bug? What's that called?
Ladybug.
Bird or ladybug? Yeah. Okay. Now, these things gobble up those little aphids. Did you know that? They say, oh, we love them. And they go, yum, 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 eat them all up. And I took these photos. I took them. Yeah. Anyway, when you get baptized and join the church, Jesus comes into your heart and gets rid of all the things that bug you. Isn't that good? Do you intend one day when you grow up bigger to get baptized and join the church? Yes? Would you like to put up your hands and say, yeah, I like that. Good. You can go back to your seats now. I have some handouts. Thank you for inviting me to come again. I just love coming here, meeting with our friends and so on. And thank you, Peter, for playing. I just love your playing. I wish I could play like that. I've got a flute at home, and it's slightly neglected at the moment. Thank you so much. In our daily news, we have been hearing a lot of troubles around the world. I'm thinking of the earthquake in Christchurch in Japan. Did you know there have been two major volcano explosions? One in Indonesia, one in Japan. And it's so bad that they have banned all aircraft from over there. I'm thinking of the political problems too. By the way, these are the texts I'm using today. So I thought you'd like to know and follow that. They make good bookmarks anyway. In Egypt, in Libya, and all kinds, and in Europe too. There are all kinds of places. I think it's in Turkey or something. We have troubles. Is the cause of all these things? I don't believe so. Is the devil responsible? Well, I believe God does permit problems to come. Imagine if you were to come to my home today and the place is in a mess. When we left it, it was good. You know, it was nice and tidy. And Yvonne is very embarrassed and says, "Oh, look, I'm sorry. I don't know what happened. Maybe a thief came in and messed up the place." I believe that could be the problem. Okay? Now, I'm thinking of a verse in the Bible, Ephesians. Chapter 2, verse 2. It's a very interesting verse. Ephesians 2, 2? No. Yep. "And in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit which now works in the sons of disobedience." And so the devil is called the prince of the power of the air. Huh? Have you thought of that? Look at all these tornadoes and so on. And I'm thinking of Luke 21 in particular. Luke 21:25. Luke 21:25. That verse has baffled me for a long time. 21:25. "And there will be signs in the sun, moon, and stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring." Now, why on earth would the Bible put it there? I read it through over and over again. Ever since creation, the waves have been sweeping in, going out, waves roaring. Now, if you live by the sea, as I used to, I used to be the pastor of Manly Church, lived right by the sea, and the waves have always roared until just now. I know the Bible talks about famines, pestilence, earthquakes, and the sea and the waves roaring. And here it is. Huge waves. You know, 10 meters, 15 meters tall, sweeping in, devastating towns, villages. It's amazing. Now, to understand what is going on, I come to the topic we have today. And the topic is... Good to see you. You must prophesy again. Now, I believe round about 1844, the world was actually waiting for Jesus to come. Now, to understand this, we have to go back about 160 something, 170 years ago. when there was an honest farmer. He came from a devout Christian home. But he decided, nope, the Bible is old-fashioned. We don't need it. We don't really need the Bible. In fact, I don't believe the Bible. He was knocking around with a group of young people who call themselves theists. That is, God made the world, yep, but he has no further interest in the world. And that is what theism is all about. God has left the world to run itself, and too bad if we are in a mess today. However, when when he was 34 years of age, when he was 34, good to see you. Hey, some of you guys have missed a good story too. Okay. Now, when he was 34, the Holy Spirit impressed upon him that he should read the Bible. Incidentally, that's how I became an Adventist, by reading the Bible. Nothing else. The Holy Spirit and the Bible. Isn't that good? Anyway, this man studied the Bible and he came to the conclusion that Jesus would come real soon. And he says, I'm no preacher. I've been a farmer all my life. I don't have a good education. What can I do? So, he said to the Lord, I'll tell you what, if I was ever asked to preach, I'll do it. But only when I was invited to preach, nothing else. And within 10 minutes before he even got up out of his knees, there was a knock on the door. And this young man said, Uncle William, the preacher is not well, and you are invited to preach this Sunday. Boy, you could have floored him. He just said, look, you sit here and wait. I want to talk to the Lord. He went out into the bush, and he was cranky. He said, I'm no preacher, but I made a promise. He thought he would be safe, you know. He's never been asked to preach, ever. And the Lord says, well, you're onto something. You ought to preach it. And he went back and he says, you go and tell your uncle that I will preach this Sunday. And he went and he preached. This good farmer doubted the Bible. He was moved by the Holy Spirit, and he was converted by prayer and Bible study. And he studied especially the portions from Daniel and Revelation, and he came to the conclusion that Jesus would come real soon. And after he preached, boy, people say, this is too good. You ought to come to my church, just next town. Would you be willing to do that? He said, yes, I'll do it. And so he was invited here and there and everywhere. And he began to share his discovery. 1831. That was a good, 13 years before this 1844 date. And many, many people were converted. Especially when something dramatic happened 2 years after he started preaching. The stars Now, I have heard about that. And did you know the astronomers tell us every 33 years? So 1833, 1866, 1899, and so on. And we were in Hong Kong when it was 1965, I think. 1965. And I got my wife and my little baby boy, and I said, let's go and have a look at this prediction. Did it happen? Well, it did, but not nearly as dramatic. There were stars that went, here's another one, here's another one. And incidentally, I know some of you might think I'm crazy, but we set an alarm and got up 2 o'clock in the morning in Melbourne. I can't remember the year, but people predicted there would be a major meteoric shower. And we drove to a place where there were no street lights so we can see well. And sure enough, but nothing like what it was. And I brought along a, let's turn to Matthew 25 verse 6. This is what they call the midnight cry. Matthew 25 verse 6. Now, I'm keeping an eye on the time, okay? I'll try to be good. Otherwise, I'll never get invited back again. At midnight, a cry was heard, behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him. And so, people were really anxious. And I brought along a history book. And this is very old. I'm old, but this is slightly older than me. It's 100-something years old. And on back in those days, they did not have photographs. So these are what they call wood cut. Someone very clever cut wood and made into pictures. And that's the great day prophesied by the Second Adventists. They were called Second Adventists because the first time Jesus came as a baby, the second time Jesus would come as the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so there's a book. And how did I get this book? It's a history book called Our First Century, published in 1876. So it's a little bit older than I am. It was given to me by my friend Michael Stroh, an Adventist friend. And he said, I said, oh, Michael, you can't give that to me. It's too precious. He said, I've got two copies. You can keep this one. And I have met up with him since, but when he was young, he was my roommate, and he was chunks of muscles, real strong guy. And I was only a puny little fellow, and I'm still pretty small. Anyway, he was my bodyguard. He'd walk around, and he was that's him there. A Hungarian fellow. He was good. Anyway, this is the first page of this book. It's called Our First Century. There it is. Same. But I photographed that so you can see the book. And this book is about the first 100 years of the history of America. Okay? And the first 100 significant events in America. And this is one of them, the expected destruction of the world in 1843. And it was preached by, let me see, well, we're not going to read the whole lot. Okay, William Miller. Huh? And when it didn't happen, he actually felt quite embarrassed about it. And that is a picture of William Miller. Isn't that something? And all that was carved out, not photographed, carved out by someone very clever. Now, I know many of you have seen pictures of the Daniel 2 image and the beasts, huh? But that is significant when we see something that is so old, symbolical illustrations of the Second Advent prophecies. Huh? That is absolutely amazing. And then we have the dark day. Would you like to turn your Bibles to that? Now, you can see on these little leaflets that I have given you, there are some indented things. That is not a typographical error, but there are, I have counted 9. And if you count that, you'll find there are only 8. But there are actually 9 Bible prophecies on the darkening of the sun and the moon and the falling of stars. And the amazing dark day that came in May 1780. Let's go to our Bibles to Matthew 24, verse 29. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun shall be darkened. By the way, it was an eclipse, okay? Way back, a long time, hundreds of years before 1844, astronomers were able to find out when the next eclipse would take place. And incidentally, I have been privileged to see an eclipse. They only last for about, 7 minutes, 10 minutes the most? That's all. But this particular happening took place all day and all night. Okay, let's read that. Immediately after the tribulation of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, and the star shall fall from heaven, and the powers of heaven will be shaken. Now, if your daddy was to talk to you and say, be sure to ring home once a week, and not once, not twice, but 8 times, you say, look, Dad, I'm not a child anymore. I hurt you the first time. Obviously, it's very important. Otherwise, the Lord wouldn't record it 8 times, 9 times in the Bible. Isn't that right? You agree with me? It's very important. And it's recorded not in a religious book, but in a history book. But you say, I haven't heard anything about it. Now look. I'm talking to the young people. Many of you would not have heard of Watergate. You say, what on earth is Watergate? Well, it happened during Tricky Nixon's time. Okay? The older ones remember there was a Watergate. Huh? But the younger, you know, for weeks and maybe months, this Watergate was a headline in the newspaper. No longer. People say old news is not news at all. That's why we haven't heard it. But it's true. It happened and it's recorded. The dark day, May 19, 1780. That happened. And it was so dark, You couldn't even see your hands in front of your face. And then there was this sublime meteoric shower all over America in 1833, November. And November 13. And this too is another wood carving. And it was over the Niagara Falls. And it took place, and it went on and on. It was so bright, people rushed out into the street and read the Bible by the light of the stars. Okay? And they got down on their knees and say, "We are convinced Jesus is coming soon." And I believe it. Okay. The falling of stars over Mississippi. That's a river. And now, I have a second handout. Please, one for everybody. I think there should be enough. I have given you some, all the text there. Joel 3:15 is the one I missed out before, okay, in your first handout. But we believe these are signs of Jesus coming. Now, what happened October 22, 1844, the date was correct, but the event was wrong. They thought Jesus was coming to cleanse the earth. The Bible says in Daniel 8:14. Daniel 8:14. "And he said unto me, for 2,300 days, then the sanctuary shall be cleansed." Now the earth has never been called the sanctuary. The sanctuary. And what's more, how on earth can you say there is something in heaven that needs to be cleansed? I mean, there's nothing dirty in heaven. Now, I'm going to give you an illustration. Imagine I bought a dirty magazine. By the way, this is not a dirty magazine. But imagine I bought a dirty magazine. Doctor, you tell me, is that magazine full of germs? No. It's not full of germs. Is it? Has it got grubs in it? No. It has records of dirty people doing dirty things. That's why, and everything we do according to the Bible, and Jesus says, every idle word, that is, gossips, would be recorded in heaven. You say, "Oh, so-and-so, oh, they're really bad, you know, they did this and that." If you start gossiping, that is recorded in heaven. And once you confess your sins to God, that is, God will get rid of it. The date was correct, but the event was wrong. They thought Jesus would come and cleanse the earth with fire. And that is where they made the mistake. If God predicted it, did God cause it? No. No, no. God predicted that Adam and Eve would sin. Did He cause Adam and Eve to sin? No, He did not. He just knew they would sin, and He made provision for it by sending His Son. And He promised that His Son would die if or when men were to fall. He predicted it? No. God didn't cause Adam to sin either. Now, this is not a very good... Why did the disappointment happen then? Now, I don't believe there is any shortcut to truth other than study the Word of God and prayer. Did you know that? We need to arrive at the truth through study, and by the direction of the Holy Spirit, we may arrive at truth. There's no shortcut to it. And now, let's go to Revelation 10. And we want to go quite fast because, as I say, I don't want to rave on and on. We're going to read that book, Revelation 10, the whole chapter. By the way, if there is one chapter in the Bible that predicted the great disappointment and the rise of the great Advent movement, this is it. There is only one chapter, maybe two, about the Seventh-day Adventist Church. And this is it. Okay, let's go. Brethren, Revelation 10, brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they may be saved. Well, I had Romans, would you believe it? I was talking when I turned, and I didn't turn far enough. Okay, let's go. Revelation 10, verse 1. And I saw still another mighty angel coming down from heaven, clothed with the clouds. Who would that mighty angel be? Now, by the way, that mighty angel is a very important one. That mighty angel is Jesus himself. But I didn't think Jesus is an angel. No, Jesus is not an angel. The word angel, by the way, are there Greeks here? I want to say something in Greek. Okay. The word angel means messenger. Jesus came as a messenger. The word messenger comes from the Greek word angelos, angel. Get it? Angel, angelos. Alright? So Jesus was the mighty messenger from God. Okay? He's not an angel at all. He's the eternal God. Okay? He was clothed with the clouds. Cloud is mystery. And we're talking about the mystery of godliness. We're talking about how God can become man. And he did become man. Okay? By the way, if you don't have a pencil, will you please put up your hand and we will share with you a pencil or two. Boomerang pencils. That is, you have to give it back. That's what it means. Boomerang. Okay. Now you know. And what is rainbow? Can someone please help me with a rainbow? A rainbow over his head. Someone tell me, what does a rainbow represent? Promise. That's right. And the greatest of all promise would be the coming of Jesus. Okay? Promise. The sun. Now, the sun represents, his face was like the sun. And I don't have time, but it's Malachi chapter 4. Jesus is called the Son of Righteousness. Okay? And in Revelation 1, it talks about his face was as bright as the sun. Alright? And so, the gospel light. By the way, does the moon give light? Does the moon give light at all? The moon is actually a reflector, like a mirror. it reflects. And so his feet was like what? On the moon. That is, it's a New Testament gospel with its foundation in the Old Testament. Get it? Huh? The moon is, and the feet is as it was like pillars of fire. Fire has to do with purity. And so his walk is pure. He was absolutely pure. The little book. Now, he had his right feet on the sea. The Bible talks about the sea or the waters. Is waters represent what? Peoples. Peoples, nations. And it had its foundation in the old world. But the left foot was on land, representing the new world. In other words, this gospel is to be a worldwide message. Get it? Old world, new world, that's it. Old world, new world. And he cried with a loud voice. Now look, if I were to talk real loud, the next door neighbor might hear. But if I talk super, super loud, could I be heard in Melbourne? Yes or no? No, impossible. Unless I were broadcasting, right? If I was broadcasting like Doug Batchelor preaching in America, and you guys can hear it, that would be very loud. Isn't that right? Very loud. And if you go to, let's keep our bookmark on Revelation 10. Let's go to 14. Let's go to 14. Beginning at verse 6. Okay. I saw another angel fly in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to those who dwell on the earth, to every nation, tribe, tongue, and people, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to Him, for the hour of His judgment has come, and worship Him that made heaven and earth and sea and the springs of waters. And so loud voice means it is very powerful. I understand the Adventist radio station at Guam is so powerful, if a bird were to fly right in front of that beam, it would possibly drop dead. Because one pastor said they went to the transformer room where the broadcasting was. He said his hair was tingling, standing up on end. It's so powerful. So powerful. And it's a powerful proclamation. It is not just powerful, atomic bombs powerful, but it is proclaiming the word of God. It is so powerful. The message. Let's have a look at the message of Revelation 10 again. Let's go to Revelation 10 and beginning at verse 5. And the angel whom I saw standing on the sea and on the land raised up his hand to heaven. It is an act of taking an oath. Okay? It's a very, very solemn proclamation. And what was he saying? Let's look at it. Verse 6. And swore by him who lives forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, and that there should be delay no longer. In the old King James Version, it says, time no longer. Now, can you tell me another verse? By the way, I know at least 3 verses, and I just recently found another one in Acts. Can you tell me another verse that says, the person who created heaven and earth and the sea and the fountains and every... Tell me another verse. Come on, you guys know it. Exodus 20, the Sabbath commandment. Huh? Why are we in church today? It is because today is the birthday of planet Earth. Isn't that right? And we just don't celebrate it once a year, but we celebrate it every week to remember that God made us. What's another verse that says we are to worship Him that made heaven, earth, and the sea, and everything else? Come on, you know it. Revelation 14, we just read that. So, if God says it is important to worship Him, why? Because He made everything. Now, I'm going to tell you something funny. My granddaughter said to me, Yeah? Huh? God made heaven and earth, but everything else is made in China. Now, only to a certain respect, okay? By the way, I was made in China. All right. Just remember, God made everything. Heaven and earth and everything else. Now, so, He swore by Him who made heaven and earth and everything else. So, that is the Sabbath commandment. Isn't that right? Time no longer. That Jesus would come soon. Jesus would come soon. Delay no longer could easily means that 1844 is the very last prophetic date. There isn't another date beyond 1844. The mystery of God. Now, I told you there are 2 mysteries. There's the mystery of godliness and the mystery of iniquity. How sin could come. Who was the devil that made the devil the devil? Huh? Who tempted Lucifer, a beautiful angel, to become a rebel? He was his own tempter. Okay? And there is, according to my reading, there is no explanation for it. No reason for it. The devil became his own tempter. But the mystery of godliness is how God could so love the world that He came to save us so we can live forever and ever. Isn't that something? Now, Jesus is coming back. Now, when William Miller and his friends preached, in 2 more months, Jesus would come. Forget about your furniture. Don't waste your money on good clothes. Huh? Jesus is coming soon. He was preaching with all his earnestness. He was right about October 22, 1844. Jesus would definitely come. Would you like to see that verse in Daniel 8? Daniel 8. By the way, I could be ahead of my own time. You know, I have been using an old English Bible called King James Version, and now I'm using a new King James Version, and because of that, I have trouble locating that particular verse. It's in chapter 7, and it says 10,000 times 10,000 angels, and the books were open, and all that is in chapter verse 10. Good. Thank you. I knew you'd help me out. Okay. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. A thousands ministered before him, and 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him, and the court was seated, and the books were open, and I saw them, because the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, and watch until the beast was slain, and so on. And what I'm saying is, the Bible says that he came before the Almighty. Now, the eating of the book is a detailed study. God's people ought to be studying the Bible. And it would be good, it would be well for us to spend a thoughtful hour each day in contemplation of the life of Christ, particularly about the closing chapters of Jesus. And so, by studying the Word, incidentally, I just want to give the boys and girls, my children gave me a new gadget for Father's Day in May, and it's called an iPod. And I have four Bibles in there, Old King James, New King James, NIV, and a Chinese Bible in there. And then, lately I downloaded 10 volumes of Spirit Prophecy books, including the Great Controversy, Desire of Ages, Steps to Christ, and a host of them. Now, the Bible tells me that your word is a lamp unto my feet. Isn't that right? So last night, when I needed, I was in a strange house last night. I wasn't in my own home. So I turned this thing on, and it became my light that took me to where I needed to go 4 o'clock in the morning. Okay? So the Word of God is just marvelous. Okay? It is so good. I enjoy reading it, and I spent a lot of time reading it, and I love reading it. Now, detailed study. But when 1844, October 23 came along, Jesus did not come. Were they disappointed? Yes, they were disappointed. Huh? It was sweet as honey. Guess what? Next month, we're going to be in heaven, and we're going to eat the fruit of the tree of life. It was so good to talk about it. When it didn't happen, they were disappointed. They were very disappointed. And then they prayed. And they studied some more. Some people say, look, William Miller is wrong. I'm not going to believe a word of what the Bible said. That's the wrong attitude. Okay, they got down on their knees and they prayed. And they studied it some more. And then, listen to this. This is remarkable. We studied and prayed earnestly, for we felt we must learn God's truth. Often we remained together until late at night. and sometimes through the entire night. Now tell me, brethren, sisters, have you ever studied the Bible all through the night? Well, it might be a good thing if we did. Okay, the Holy Spirit will rest upon us. Did you know that General Conference has voted a 777 plan? Have you heard about that? Well, you should. Okay. The first seven is Seventh-day Adventist. Second seven is 7 days a week. And the third seven is either 7 o'clock in the morning or 7 o'clock at night, we pray for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Isn't that good? You like that? You think you can put that down? By the way, this gadget of mine will beep at 7 o'clock to remind me to pray. Isn't that good? Now, they prayed for light and studied the word. As we fasted and prayed, great power came upon us. That's the pioneers of our movement. Okay, what gave them courage? Let me tell you what gave them courage. They said, oh, we thought Jesus would come to planet Earth, but Jesus came to the Ancient of Days. He came for a long time. He was our lawyer, and suddenly he came and sat right next to the Father as our judge as well as our lawyer. And he took on an additional position as our judge as well as our lawyer. And how do you know? Now, I have put down some of these, and they're right there, Hebrews 8:5. Let's just go quickly to it, because Hebrews 8, and it talks about God is going to be to build a church, a sanctuary, a true tabernacle, which God erected, not men. Okay? Now, the one on earth was built by Moses, and later on, King Solomon built a church called Solomon's Temple. But we're talking about another one that God built. And how do I know? Verse 5 says, which serve as the copy and shadow of heavenly things. Now, if you were to build a bigger church, you engage an architect. So, oh, we want a church 4 times as big as this one. That's good. So how do I know what it looks like? And the architect says, you want to see it? There it is. It's that size. So that can't be right. Not even a child can fit into that thing. Isn't that right? You can't fit in a thing like that. But say, that represents the real thing that's bigger. Much bigger than this church. Isn't that right? Yep, that's exactly what it's like. And God said, let's just go on. A shadow of heavenly things, as Moses was divinely instructed when he was about to make the tabernacle, for he said, see that you make all things according to the pattern shown to you on the mountain. So that earthly one was a pattern of the heavenly one. Let's go on. And it says that chapter 9, verse 9 says, it was symbolic of the present time, and it's a figure in the Old King James Version. It's a figure of the true. And in verse 24, it says, Christ has entered the holy place made with hands, which are copies of the true, not the real thing. He went to the real heavenly sanctuary. Okay? Real heavenly sanctuary. Into heaven itself. To appear in the presence of God for us. And so, you know what gave our pioneers courage to preach again? Well, let's go to the original reading, Revelation 10. Revelation 10. By the way, I've almost come to the end, okay? Take courage. It says that verse 30, Revelation 10, Revelation 10. And he said to me, "You shall prophesy again." Many of them, including William Miller, says, "Look, I'm so embarrassed about 1844, I don't think I'll do it again." And God says, "I want you to preach about the second coming of Christ." Isn't that good? This is where you and I come into it. We have the courage to preach. Because Jesus says, "You must prophesy again about many people, nations, tongues, and kings. And I was given a reed like a measuring rod. And the angel stood saying, 'Rise and measure the temple of God.'" They were to study. Measuring the temple is the judgment. Okay? The rod, we are judged by what? Who knows? We are judged by the Ten Commandments. Huh? We're judged by the Ten Commandments. And those who worship God. Who are those who worship God? They are the believers. Okay? And the Bible says that I don't want you to measure the Gentiles. They are in the courtyard. Forget about them. Because they shall be judged during the millennium. Okay? Isn't that right? Outer court are for the Gentiles. By the way, in the real Bible time, the believers, the Jewish people, got into the church. But the Gentiles, like you and me and everybody, all the Aussies are Gentiles, all the Chinese are Gentiles. Did you know that? Anyone who's not a Jew is a Gentile. They were to stand outside in the courtyard. Now, there is the Old Testament church. And Jesus was ministering in the heavenly sanctuary as our lawyer and our judge. Today, we have a lawyer who has never lost a case. My brothers, my sisters, you leave your case in Jesus' hands and you're going straight to heaven because Jesus loves you and He wants you to be in heaven. Okay, judgment was set and the books were open and Jesus is our lawyer today. He came to the Ancient of Days. That would be He came to His Father. Okay, you must prophesy again. We have been given the gospel commission to tell to the whole world that Jesus is coming back again. The gospel of the kingdom must be preached to all the world for a witness unto all nations. That's Matthew 24, verse 14. And then the end will come. This is our message. And we believe it. We have to tell the world. Now, I'll tell you what I'll do. I believe Jesus is coming back real soon. I believe it. During my ministry, I have moved from house to house to another house, from Hong Kong to Australia to Pitcairn Island, back to Western Australia and so on, all over the 17 homes we have lived in. And I said, I don't want to move anymore. You know what my next address is? New Jerusalem. Huh? And so I thought, how would you like me to play you a piece? It's a shortened piece called The Holy City. It's not the full version, okay? The Holy City. And I thought I'll finish with that. The Holy City is where God wants you and I to move to. Okay? That's where we want to go. Okay? Thank you. Our Father in heaven, we have been reminded of our heritage in the Word of God. Father, we pray we may be true to our gospel commission. May we, Father, tell the world that Jesus loves them and Jesus died for each one of us. And Jesus is coming back to claim us as His own. Bless, Father, each one of us, that we may always love You, always obey You and serve You. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.